You are about to experience Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting. Fortunately, you are about to hear lots of opinions, but rarely any facts. Impersonation might occur, but good luck trying to figure them out. This program is not intended for kids or the easily offended. Listener discretion is advised. You have been warned. You press play. It's too late to stop. Get ready to podcast.
Hey, welcome to another edition of Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting. It is I, DJ Impact, and we got the whole crew here. Matt Michaels, Sin City Steve, and Rob Bocelleri, and welcome everyone to another edition of Wrestling Talk. We're going to talk all about this past week shows. We're happy that you're with us. If you're watching us live, make sure you put your comments in the comment box, Twitch, Facebook Live, or YouTube. We always appreciate it, and we'll try to get it up on the screen and have our laughter, debates, or disappointments, you know, whatever you want to type in. Nevertheless, welcome to the show. We'll get right to it for what's too sweet for the week. All right, Sin City, Steve, big week in pro wrestling this week, man. What was your highlights?
All right, so we have new AEW World Tag Team Champions in Private Party, much to my surprise, admittedly. I sat on this show last week and I said, they're done, they're going to split them up. One of them's going to go with MVP, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Thankfully, none of that happened. And it looks like as if they're going to be doing that with another tag team, which I'll talk about that in a future segment.
Yeah.
But the Young Bucks put over Private Party clean in the middle of the ring after Gin and Juice. And the Young Bucks are supposedly taking time off from the company. They left the arena in a huff after the match. And so they're going to be off TV for a bit. In addition to that, Bobby Lashley is All Elite. Yes. Ah. After Swerve Strickland beat Shelton Benjamin in a damn good main event. MVP made a phone call, and then moments later, Bobby Lashley emerged, went face to face with Swerve, and drew pretty loud holy shit chants from the Cleveland audience. So good on him for truly making that feel like a big moment. And then obviously Lashley laid Swerve out, and the Hurt Syndicate stood tall to end Dynamite. Elsewhere, shout out to Thunder Rosa and Harley Cameron. They had a very solid match on Collision. They had a Dia de los Muertos match, which would be, you know, it's a themed anything goes type of a match. So the finish was solid, and saw Thunder Rosa use a half folded table as a ramp, and drop kicked Harley, who was seated in the corner with a trash can on her head. So you gotta love it. Good shit.
Right. Okay. Let me move over to you, Rob. What was your highlights for the week?
Hey, guys, you covered a lot of what I was going to do, but there were a couple of things that happened in Crown Jewel. Let's not forget that. We had a really good six-way women's tag match in which Bianca Belair and Jade Cargill retain. What I liked about it is this is the first match where Jade Cargill looks solid. She had the Doomsday device applied. Jade Cargill gets Piper Niven, so Bianca can get the pin. So that was really good. We finally had the closer on this Carmelo Hayes versus, you know, El Idolo. Yes, Andrade El Idolo. And L.A. Knight. And we had a good match, a good solid match in there, and L.A. Knight retains. Very interesting. But what I liked is how they are building up this whole thing with your Money in the Bank winner. Tiffy time, because we're going to see this build up to Tiffy versus Nia Jackson. We'll get into the predictions later, but they did a good job with that, with the whole shenanigans going on. And they're really rewarded. They're really, really rewarding everyone in Judgment Day for the hard work they're putting in right now. At least the Judgment Day women. So we got some great results there. But yeah, I mean, fucking Private Party. That was what it was all about. It was a hard-earned win. There were a lot of you know, near miss spots. We thought they were done a lot of times. When he was pile-drived on the, but they dragged him out to the back and pile-drived him. I'm like, it's over. He's not going to crawl back. Oh, he crawled back. Very, very, very big, big win for Private Party.
Matt Michaels, Private Party. What you got this week for this week's highlights?
You know, they don't even put the fucking belts on the hot tag team. They put it on fucking Private Party. So whatever. Good for them, AEW.
He wouldn't be happy unless AEW tag belts went to a WWE guys while on WWE.
No, right. Your fucking hottest tag team, your fucking 80s throwback tag guys, and you don't put the belts on them, you put it on fucking Private Party, who has been around and done nothing but nothing for five fucking years. So I don't know. Call me, I don't know, disgruntled or just real fucking listic on why you fucking put the tag belts on these guys instead of the guys they should have.
You've got these Hogan knockoffs, and that's your best guy, or these 80s knockoff guys, and you give them the belts? Private Party has been working in the
Those are your most popular tag team right now in AEW. Period. Or not. There you go. Anyway. Sheamus and Ludwig Kaiser on Raw was fucking phenomenal. Which is hard to say about a Sheamus match. So there you go. Rhea and Gunther's film promos, what they're doing with film promos and stuff is great. Doing some good stuff there. That whole Sammy talking to Jay, and then Jay and Jimmy seeing Sammy out at the car talking to Solo, leading to Saudi, where you actually get Sammy running in to make a save and then accidentally kicking Roman. They're just building up that fucking story beautifully. Yes, Piper on Jade's shoulders was ridiculous. KO wearing a Cowboy Bob Orton shirt against Randy, and that match was fucking just beautifully done as a fucking brawl for all. That LA Knight match with the three of them, that was great. Seth and Bronson just fucking tearing it up on Raw and then at the fucking pay-per-view. Wendy Chu this week wearing some Sally gear from Night Before Christmas, going against Tatum Paxley in a casket match, which was fun to see. Frankie Kazarian was doing Joe Hendry on TNA this week, which was fucking hysterical. Charlie Dempsey and Alexis King had an amazing match for the Heritage Cup, in which Mr. Regal wanted Alexis King to cheat, but he did not because he doesn't want to be like his father. There we go. Storytelling. Private Party. Tag champs. Cedric Alexander and Javon Evans versus Frazier and Axiom was really great. Wes Lee was a distraction in the match. Very good. And, you know, that led to a brawl going back with Wesley and Javal, and in the back, RVD said he's going to be involved at ECW this week. So, all right. A lot of shit going on.
Absolutely.
That was a Private Party.
All right, let's see who needs some love out there. All right, Rob. So, Private Party doesn't need any love out there. So who else do you think can use some?
You know, I'm having a hard time, you know, thinking about it right now. If we go from the Raw brand, we're not seeing anything much, unless I missed a match this week from Ivy Nile. She's kind of been in the background from American Made.
You missed a match this week from Ivy Nile.
All right, then. What, she was on NXT?
No, she was on Raw with she was going against another fucking, I forgot who it was, but they had her on.
And that's the thing. I fucking watched it and don't even remember it. So she definitely needs some love there. When it comes to AEW, we're still seeing this thing where they're throwing all of the guys from the dark out there as a filler. I'm not feeling that. They have more than enough opportunity now to find something to do with these guys, and they're still not using them. They're just there to be, you know, background guys of background guys. These are the AEW extras. You know, they'll take the mask off Evil Uno and have him be used to do breakaparts in WWE. That's a little bit of a shame because they have all of the main elements there. So they need to do something with that. Yeah, that's all I can think of right now.
Okay. No doubt. Let me move over to you, Matt Michaels. We need some love out there.
You got to give some loving to Miss Liv Morgan and her new Saudi belt. Man, she's gonna look sexy in that thing. Give me the Shawn Michaels pose where it's nothing but the belt. And she can have one across the crotch and one across the tits now that she got two belts.
Is she single now?
Does it matter?
Yeah.
But does it matter?
I'm saying you got a shot.
You have a shot, Matt. There you go.
I'm just saying, does it matter? I mean,
so you could send her a picture of you with one over the tits and one over the crotch.
Who says I haven't? That's all her DMs are right now. That's all. In fact, Rob, check your DMs.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Blocked.
Got him.
And then, you know, she's not only busy, but she finds time to go with Raquel to NXT to the parking lot to attack Rhea Ripley. Will someone please inform the wrestlers to stop going to the NXT parking lot?
That's the most fucking dangerous area of any wrestling company ever in the history of the world.
Is, and neither candidate has addressed the fact that they should be cleaning up that fucking parking lot. That's what makes me mad. You know how much violence goes on in that fucking parking lot? It's unreal.
Oh, God.
I used to see them murder people in Lucha Underground, so I don't know. This is, they come back in this story.
Well, but Lucha Underground didn't have a parking lot. If they would have had a parking lot, it would have been like Hell's Mouth, right?
Lucha Underground did a segment where they stabbed a guy trying to get back in.
Well, there's that. They did a lot of things. Let me go over to Houston City, Steve, man. Who needs some love?
There are all those violent Mexican wrestlers out there. I'm telling you right now, what we need to do is we need to round up, just build a wall.
I'm not in costume. I'm not doing that right now.
It's a solid wall. Instead of a steel cage, we need a wall around a ring, and we just let all these luchas go at it. And whoever
you know how you solve, you know how they get around that, right? A TLC match.
Oh, Jesus. Sin City Steve, your time. Let's go.
Oh, my God. Yeah, how can I follow that? But, you know, I got to know, where is the love for Top Flight? You know, we talked about Private Party being, you know, some guys that had been around for 5 years that realistically hadn't done much. And I'll completely agree with that. I really wish that they would have invested more into the younger talents on the roster. And Top Flight is just another example of it. You know, everyone in the group is extremely talented, and they're largely being used as enhancement talent. If you saw Rampage and Collision, you'll notice they were all over those shows. It was like Rampage specifically. Every match involved a member of Top Flight, I believe. So that was very interesting, but again, they hardly ever win when they are on TV, and evidently it's a storyline that they're spreading dissension as Action Andretti is looking at leaving. I mean, this shit is realistically going nowhere. And, you know, I really wish that they would continue what they started with other members of the roster and give some love to Top Flight. Darius and Dante are very solid in ring. And Action Andretti is very good as well. She messed up. Kept going. So
do you add Leo Rush into that conversation?
So I think the world of Lio Rush. I really wish that he would have more visibility across the board. I've thought that for years. So absolutely.
All right. Let us move over into our favorite, this week's WTF. All right, Matt Michaels, did you find any WTFs this past week?
We know he did.
Well, let me just start off with, holy fuck, Adam Cole is worthless. Please, this guy needs to fucking just go. Listen, find yourself a dentist and settle down with her and just get the fuck off my TV, please. Backstage segment,
cold, baby.
Yeah, the backstage segment with Renee and the Street Profits and Adam Pearce, that was interesting. I didn't think to see all those people in the same place. Oh my God, what a reaction for the return of Mark Davis. What the fuck? What is this shit? What is... Oh my God. Ooh, it's Mark fucking Davis from a tag team that never really was part of the fucking AEW thing, but we can figure this out, right? I don't need to... why do they do
this?
Where's
the video package?
Shit. Just remind me once, like, show that they were a tag team so I know, oh yeah, it's the Australian fuckers who I didn't care about then and don't give a shit about now, except for the one who cut his hair and he needs Don Callis to be his man. I don't fucking know what's going on. That brings me to this wonderful group they got going with Triple Mox and China Rude and Claudio Dog and Bad Beard Wheeler Yuta and X-Pac. Oh my God, what a fucking awful Jesus Christ. So you have DX who is fighting for the control of WCW. I don't fucking get this at all. I don't know what the fuck is going on. Please, for the love of God, nobody should ever rappel down from a ceiling ever again. Someone died doing that. Stop it. Yeah. I wouldn't have given a shit if he would have died because it's fucking Darby Allin. But good God's sakes, don't fucking do that on TV. Too bad nobody saw Private Party win the tag belts because everyone changes the fucking TV when the fucking Young Bucks come on anyway. Yeah. So that was a great celebration for those poor guys. Yes, Penelope Ford, nobody remembers who you are because you've been Wardlowed. So great. So glad to see you again. And then, of course, the week wouldn't have been the big week without the fucking mid-card business showing up. Who fucking cares? For fuck's sakes. Jesus Christ. You have a TNA Bobby Lashley now. Good luck, everyone. Enjoy him.
Wow. Damn. All right.
Oh, but my biggest complaint is this. Fucking Collision is so bad that my DVR actually just took the record off. I'm like going, where the fuck's Collision? I had to go back in and reset the fucking record for it because it just decided, I don't even want to do this anymore.
That's funny. Oh, God. Sensitive Steve, I got to go for you, man. I mean, it can't be that bad, Sensitive. Come on.
I'm not going to lie. I really wish that I had the time to hate watch a promotion like what you do, Michaels. I swear to God, like you come on here every single week and it's like you give glowing reviews of everything WWE and then WTF is comprised exclusively of AEW shit. So you only watch it to shit on it.
I guarantee my mind. After an AEW show, just crumpled up pieces of toilet paper all around the room after you've seen how bad it was.
No, probably. I have two eyes and I know what I like, and it ain't that shit.
now the sad part is in spite of most of his bombastic and, you know, hyperbolic ranting there,
yeah,
I am gonna actually agree with two major points that he made. Holy okay. Shit. So first off, yeah, Adam Cole versus Buddy Matthews should have marked a triumphant return for a hero. And for a fan favorite, But unfortunately, they chose to go down this path with the storyline of the match. We're going to work over his ankle that had kept him out of action for a year. Okay, that's fine. But what they did next is why it ends up in this segment. Because initially, Doc Samson came down. Adam Cole was defiant. He was going to continue. He was a fighting, a fighting champion of the people. He was there dead set to make his comeback. And then after a little bit of cajoling, you see Adam Cole slink to the back being helped out by Doc Samson. And at that point, my friends, that is when the crowd turned on Adam Cole. And you heard crowd chants of buddy, buddy, buddy. And then Buddy gets on the mic, calls Adam Cole a bitch. And from then on is cheered during the match. Adam Cole cuts a promo after the match, after he successfully wins with the boom. And he gets booed. This could have been avoided. This really could have been avoided. Elsewhere, yeah, Kyle Fletcher calls out Will Ospreay, who he knows is not in the building. Out comes a returning Mark Davis, who was Fletcher's tag partner, stablemate. And Fletcher said that Davis would have to choose. But honestly, Davis had zero aura. He looked like he was stuck in his travel clothes and didn't have any show clothes to appear in. I'm not saying that he has to wear a suit, but have the guy wear something that doesn't look like he just got off the fucking flight. And lastly, I know I'm going
off flight.
I know it ties in, but Camille was built up to be this fucking monster. Mm. And then it never fucking clicked with Mercedes from the beginning. There was something that just was off the entire time.
Yeah. It's called Mercedes.
Well, then you have Camille go on this unbeaten streak. And so you're thinking, okay, it's going to last for a while. No, they have Chris Statlander beat her in under 8 fucking minutes. In under 8 minutes. So you don't even give them time. It was an afterthought of a match. And after the match, you have Mercedes essentially ending the partnership with Camille. It was just a clusterfuck all around. If you wanted Statlander versus Mercedes, that's fine. There's definitely a way to do it. But this way was absolutely puzzling. What the fuck?
Wow.
God, Steve, do you watch that show just to hate on it?
No, boy, no. And that's the thing. I go into it anticipating that I'm going to enjoy it. And I generally do. But again, I got to call out the shit that I see. And if I don't, then I have no integrity. So...
All right. Let's move over to you, Rob. What was your...
I want to expand on what you said about the Camille thing. Where are you going to put her now? Because now she's the Wardlow. You've got nowhere to put her.
Exactly.
And Statlander has no charisma. That's why she had Stokely Hathaway. When they had her as a babyface with Stokely Hathaway, at least there was something going there. Because she's either an alien or she's some obnoxious bitch from Long Island that has nothing going on for her. You're not going to take belts off Mercedes Moné and give them... To Statlander. No. So you just killed two people.
Exactly.
You just wasted two people. I do have a problem with SmackDown. So Kevin Owens is angry because Randy Orton was forced to team with Roman Reigns to take out a bigger problem in the new freaking bloodline. And everyone sees, oh yeah, that makes sense. So we're thing is, we don't have anything for Kevin Owens to do. Why don't we just say we have nothing for Kevin Owens to do instead of just making him? About? No, wait. Kevin Owens right now, this idea that he's unhinged, and this is the worst Kevin Owens unhinged thing. This thing with Randy Orton, I didn't care for it. To me, it came out of left field. He's done it a million times before, but it wasn't original, and the way they went about doing it made no sense because he started by kicking the shit out of Cody Rhodes, and then Cody just was like, hey, I'm not even worried about that. They didn't go back to that. Cody never addressed it. Cody never came out there with Randy Orton. They never did any mixed tag or anything like that. I did not like it. I didn't think it was anything good at Crown Jewel to have them not even have a formal match. They just did a brawl. They could have rang the bell at any time they wanted if they were going to do that and just say it was no holds barred if they were going to do something like that. It was sloppy. The whole execution and production on that interaction for me was sloppy. If you were going to do that, instead of having, you know, all of your freaking, you know, backstage, you know, henchmen guys in suits come out, call it a no holds bar match and build it as that,
But I don't like this back. I don't like this backstory because it made no sense. They didn't accomplish anything. Those two did nothing. They didn't move a storyline forward. They wasted.
First off, Owens hasn't been on fucking TV since his match with Cody.
They've been using him. They were building up a storyline where Owens was in the corner of Cody Rhodes, and that was fine. And then he's just, I'm angry. Why? Is there any legit reason? No. I'm not going. It's not like he was saying, I want the belt. They forced the belt thing a month back. None of this made any sense. What the fuck? What are we doing here?
You're saying that. So you're saying that for Kevin Owens,
doesn't make sense. But that we're having.
But you don't understand why he was upset with Cody or Randy.
No, Randy's like, hey, look, this guy had to do something. It's over. It's done. Let's move on. And they're like, oh, I'm angry. It makes no sense to me that we went and took it this route. And then we don't even ring the bell and have an actual match out of it. If you were going to do it like that in the first place. And I also didn't get why we had.
Trouble. They took a fucking ref out right away. I mean,
no, dude. But the other thing was I saw the way they were doing it. They had Cody do this extra long dance around the ring with Owens just watching him. The whole thing was really poorly executed. The way they did it on Crown Jewel, it was just odd. The way they set it up. To me, Sin City. I don't know if you,
Cody.
It was weird. No, I didn't mean Cody. I apologize. Randy Orton. I'm having a fucking brain fart of brain farts. But yeah. the Randy Orton versus Kevin at Crown Jewel was fucking bizarre.
I would assume that based on, I didn't watch it, but based on what happened, they clearly just didn't want to give that match away to this particular show and something they could build upon for
those
something
two
later.
Literally beat the fuck out of each other. Which okay. You don't see these two guys do. It wasn't we're having a match. And Hunter warned him.
That's right.
That I don't want to give you this match because this guy is a fucking lunatic, essentially.
Right.
So it makes sense, but you just have to follow the story, Rob.
Even on SmackDown, when
if he would have come out, Owens, and said, I want no holds barred, I want, street fight rules or something like that, raise the ante up a little bit.
Again, they sound like they didn't want to give that match up for this show. That's the whole point. That was, I would assume they wanted, from what I'm hearing, it seemed like they wanted to build this out for something later, not necessarily for here. So just have a beat down without necessarily having all these other matches of stipulations when you're not really trying to get a winner out of it.
You saw Adam Pearce get his fucking ass handed to him. Daivari out of nowhere gets a fucking,
that's the kind of thing that they could have done on Raw and then had a more structure to it. I guess is what I'm trying to say.
They'll probably address it tomorrow on Raw in Saudi Arabia. DJ, are you watching?
Yeah, we'll see. Let's go to the lookout. All right. Back to you, Sin City, Steve. What are you looking forward to?
All right. So the seeds are being planted for the Acclaim to split. Yeah. As if that was the callback that I was referencing in the very first segment. They definitely teased Max Caster turning heel and aligning with MVP. Holy shit. Yeah, that would be a bit of a full circle thing for Max Caster, though, if you think about it, who was infamously one of the extras used to portray one of Bobby Lashley's sisters on Raw. Yeah. That's a callback, too. I'm interested in this, but we can't sacrifice Anthony Bowens. The guy is extremely talented, and it would suck for him to just, disappear after this heel turn ends up happening.
Did you just say Bowens and suck in the same sentence?
I believe I did.
We got to take you on tour, Matt. You're being wasted.
and this also the stipulation of whoever wins three matches first between Adam Cole and Roderick Strong, getting MJF at Full Gear. Adam, he's beaten Buddy Matthews. He faces Malakai Black on Wednesday. Roderick Strong beat Shane Taylor in a very solid match on Collision this week. And obviously it looks like he's going to face somebody on Collision. And it's obvious at this point that it's going to lead to Adam Cole versus Roderick Strong at the Dynamite before Full Gear. I do want to see what happens in that match because there definitely will be some chicanery. Mm-hmm. And as I mentioned on here a few weeks back, Chris Jericho winning the ROH world title. It's a safe bet that Tony Khan is trying to get a Ring of Honor TV deal. And WBD wants Chris Jericho as ROH champion. Why not throw it on True TV or, you know, use Rampage's time slot on a Friday or something of that nature? Regardless, it's going to happen. So
the
I can't
Pursuit
wait to see.
Network, man. You got to go classic TNA.
Hell yeah.
Network.
Destination America.
All right. Rob, what do you got? What are you looking forward to?
Well, you guys called it. It's going to be the fourth member will be Sami Zayn. Maybe. With Sami Zayn kind of getting involved and kind of screwing up at the end on the save for the old bloodline, I'm still wondering at that comment where, you know, Jay said, hey, you're not family, where he may have struck a deal with Solo Sikoa and screws them over and The Rock does show up for the save. It's still a possibility. It's still in the cards. As far as Adam Cole, baby, he's going to break off from Roderick Strong and the Undisputed Kingdom. He's going to try to go full babyface. I think that botch of a, you know, of him this week, he can't come back. There's no way I make him a babyface now. They screwed that up. Okay, you know, it's like Matt Sydal slipping on the top rope. You're not coming back from that. And the other thing is, it might be a good time if they're smart, and I'm going to give it to Matt Michaels, they're not smart, if you give Buddy Murphy a push, because the crowd got behind him.
Yeah.
I'm sick of watching guys with actually some charisma and muscles and strength. Though, you know, the freaking House of Black should be over to the moon because they are entertaining as fuck. Absolutely. When they had Julia Hart, that was their best when they had her. They need to get back to that. It's some capacity. And if they're paying attention to the writing on the wall, if you were to do House of Black with the Outrunners and have this dark shit versus 80s stuff, that would be hysterical. Be like an old late 80s, 90s horror movie. That would be great. I'll get behind that.
All right. Matt Michaels, how about you, man? What you look forward to?
Yeah, let's not put the tag titles on the Outrunners like we should. Let's give it to Private Party, and then let's run Malakai Black and Buddy Murphy versus the Outrunners for no fucking reason. Yeah, no, I get it. Also, if Adam Cole doesn't get betrayed by the fucking, the Kingdom, and they don't join MJF, this will be the dumbest fucking stupid shit ever. That is your fucking payoff right there.
It has to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you know, whatever.
And Wardlow is still part of the Undisputed Kingdom. He could pop back up at any time and be under MJF's thumb.
Yeah, right. So when he comes out of the casket that they buried him in, we can find him. Fucking unbelievable. NXT ECW Arena this Wednesday is what it's all about. You're going to see Trick team with Bubba Ray versus Ethan Page and Rich. It's going to be just fucking great. That electricity with Bubba being in that building and wrestling, for them again. Didn't think it was going to happen. You also have Zarya, had a segment on NXT, and she was confronted by Roxanne and Cora and all the fucking the five heel women who are going to be in a 10 women tag with Zarya, Kalani Jordan, Julia, Stephanie, and Jordan fucking Grace. Once again, they know how to do it, where you have fucking 5-on-4 and all of a sudden Jordan Grace's music hits and the fucking crowd goes crazy. It's, you know, it's just textbook stuff they're doing with NXT in terms of being able to use that other company to, you know, again, bring eyes, bring attention, and bring some kind of excitement. It's fucking phenomenal. So let's bring on ECW. Don Marie is going to be a special referee too. RVD, Don Marie. I think Francine might even be showing up. I saw, so it'll be interesting.
And if you live here in Vegas, you have easy access to run into freaking Rob Van Dam. I must have seen him 4 or 5 times since I moved here and had conversations with him. He's awesome.
Yeah. He also, I don't know, might have done this show about 3 times and done a live show.
Well, I'm saying for our vast group, our vast audience who doesn't have access to him or didn't know that they could.
All right. Best in show. All right, it's time to see what is the best show for you guys this week. What was the top highlighted of your professional wrestling week? I'm going to start with you, Rob. What was that show?
W Dynamite. We had Bobby Lashley come out. We have new tag champs. And it softened the blow from the Yankees sucking a dick in the 5th inning.
Oof.
So, yeah, Dynamite.
Go Dodgers. All right, great. All right, let's go over to Sin City. How about you, man? What was the show for you?
You're not going to get any love for me on the Go Dodgers. Sorry about that.
Oh, man, all right.
But anyway, for me, it was Fright Night Dynamite. The show was good. You heard me rant about it for over a half hour now. But They built to it, you know, almost like a mini pay-per-view. They created video packages to hype up the matches. Let's see more of that on a consistent basis from AEW. Make the matches and each show feel more important. And I think that across the board, AEW programming was good this week. Shout out to Collision as well. I already talked about Rosa and Harley, but Kyle Fletcher and Commander fucking killed it as well. And the main event of Anna Jay challenging Mariah May was also a very good women's match. And they got over 10 minutes, which is a rarity for a women's match. All in all, good shit this week from AEW.
All right. That's 2 AEW there, Matt Michaels. If you you make it 3, they swept across the board. So what was your highlighted show for the week?
I'm never going to go against the Saudi government. So I would say their show is the best. Thank you. If you're looking for any type of negativity about your show in Saudi, we have 2 journalists here, and
his name is Jamal Michaels now.
Hey, I'm just saying. I don't need tell Daryl to name 2 players on the Dodgers. Hey, DJ, can you name 2 players on the Dodgers?
Speak your thought. How are you gonna go into a thought and then go into a complete different question?
You know, just thought that was an interesting thing there.
Otani, they got this.
Buy some time, DJ, and go Google that shit real quick.
I'm not gonna Google anything, but it's gotta be hard for Travis. We know some of us, well, you know, I've known him probably, you know, longer than most people. He's, you know, he's always been a Yankee fan, and I've never understood that considering that he wasn't born in New York, but he's taken on to them. And they choked. So, you know, I mean, they'll do it. Maybe their year's next year. Who knows? You know, so.
Just like the Cowboys.
Woo! Right.
All right. So Saudi Arabia was a wonderful little show. And, you got to see all the women in the Power Ranger outfits and, you know, everything you could ask for in Saudi Arabia, including this coming Monday Night Raw tomorrow night on Monday. DJ, you going to be watching?
We'll see. We'll find it. You know what? That's a good reason to tune in to next week's show. We'll see if I
did. I'm committing ass.
Hey, you know, I'm
come on, man.
Hold on. The first 10 people to tune in get to go on a free cruise. And they serve Philly cheesesteaks on the cruise.
I could do it. That might get me to tune in.
What if we could get somehow find a way to get the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia to send you some white fuzzy slippers?
That's a possibility, but
I'm just saying.
He's got to ease into this, because when WrestleMania does come there, you know, he's going to have to figure out how to book a flight over there and not get kidnapped.
Okay.
WrestleMania 50 from Riyadh.
If you watch it and or go to Riyadh, they'll have 72 virgins waiting for you.
Oh. Okay. I'm with that.
Yeah, of course, that's what Epstein said too. So take your chances there, DJ.
Well, it's, you know, Riyadh. It's probably the same age group. So,
oh my Lord. All right. So with that, that's everyone. Thank you for hanging out with us. Appreciate you.
Speaking of hanging out, that Epstein guy.
you
think P. Diddy's close?
Kill himself.
P. Diddy's close, right? He's the next.
Oh, no, he'll slip right off with all the oil.
By the way, see, now y'all got me into this. If you happen to watch SNL this past weekend, pretty good skit they did with Harvey Epstein. I try to figure that out. Pretty funny. Yeah. Good stuff, though. Listen, guys, appreciate it. Everyone coming on. We'll do it next week again as we continuing to get closer, man. End of the year means we're going to have a lot of good programming coming up to lead up to all the bigger shows in the beginning of next year. So something to get excited forward to. And we still have Survivor Series, right? Or was it now? Is it War Games? Is that what it is?
I think they call it Survivor Series War Games. They just hyphenate it.
Yeah, something to look forward to on that. With that, final words go over to you, Sin City Steve. What you want to tell the good folks out there?
All right, you guys. Thank you for hanging out with us tonight. Thank you for liking, sharing, subscribing, doing all the stuff that you guys do. We appreciate each and every one of you. Also, very special thank you to all the brave men and women serving this country, whether you're doing it on lands, foreign or domestic. Thank you for doing what you do so that we can do what we love to do. Last but not least, repsports.com, repsports.com. Go there for all your pre-workout, weight loss, and general energy needs. Repsports.com. Use promo code Vegas at checkout and save yourself 15%. And go fucking vote this Tuesday.
There you go. Vote. VOTE. Rob. Oh, no. Yes, Rob. Go.
Yeah. Well, I actually did all my shows. We had the Forced Freedom Tour, and we did the last show, which was last evening in Pahrump. It was a great audience. I want to thank everyone at WST Tatuado, which is Vince Neil's place over in Pahrump. They were really, really great to me. Yeah. And by the way, gas over there is $2.95 a gallon. Thank you, Joey. Gas is under $3 over there. Hello. No, I don't have anything specifically booked this week. Come see me over at Wise Guys if I manage to get out of bed Tuesday evening. And that's a great open mic in Main Street. It'll be at 7 o'clock, and you'll get to see Donald Trump and Barack Obama and motherfucking Cat Williams. Thank you, sir.
There you go. What a lineup there. Matt Michaels, man, what you want to tell the folks?
On TNA before the show started.
We love Titsidash.
This was a thing that was shown from Chris Bay. I just want to take a few moments to extend my heartfelt thanks and deepest appreciation for so much and to so many over the past few days. From everyone at TNA Wrestling to the incredible medical staff here in Detroit to family, friends, and fans worldwide. I know you have been praying for my full recovery from the in-ring accident this past Sunday. Monday was day one for me on this journey, which I know will be long and challenging. Thanks again for the love and support, and please keep the prayers coming. Chris's you know, doing as good as he can right now, given the circumstances. And like you said, it's going to be a long process, a long journey, but you know, it's just amazing to see what people have come together to raise so far. It looks like the GoFundMe has raised $88,000.
Wow.
Dollars. You can donate to Chris's GoFundMe at gofund.me/small a09e8a55. And you can donate there, or you can also come out this Saturday. You can go to FSW's website, I'm sure, to find out information. There's going to be items up for auction, and a whole you know, the whole night is dedicated to getting money raised for Chris's recovery. So pretty good card shaping up for the 9th at the FSW Arena.
I want to jump in on that one. I just noticed the top donation was $10,000 from Adam Copeland. So Edge gave $10,000 to him. That's incredible.
That's huge.
Yeah.
Yeah, but go through that list. It's not just Edge.
There are a lot of...
Well, he was the top guy. He was the top guy.
Yeah. If you look at it, the whole thing is, and this is the most important thing, is that it's not just the big names that you recognize, but it's either independent wrestlers, fans, you know, promoters or promotions. That's the thing. Everyone has come together for this cause. You know, including, of course, people who like to be anonymous on GoFundMe. So, you know, this is something that is definitely needed, because wrestling is Chris's main source of income. And, you know, if you're not able to do that, you're going to need to, you know, keep your electricity on and, you know, pay for your groceries and everything that he'll need to live while the injury is being rehabbed. So very important.
Well, we'll definitely keep Chris in our prayers, and we'll keep update what's going on. You can also catch Matt Michaels, who interviews still today, Joe DeFalco, owner, creator of FSW. Usually the podcast releases around Wednesday, Thursday sometime, but when it pops up, give it a good listen. And you will all, you know, you'll get the updates on what's happening with Bay, and everything's happening with FSW as well. So it's really a good chance for you to check that out. So with that, everybody, thank you for hanging out. We will we'll do it all again next week. Till then, happy wrestling.
Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting.